Big Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love's undivided.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
All right. So, yesterday, well, first let's recap the announcement, shall we? We're in the midst of the second annual John Stab Miller book drive. Make a donation of $100 or more for your, we're at the end, I should say, final week of the second annual John Stab Miller book drive. Make a donation of $100 or more for your chance to win this week's fabulous book, One Nation Under Israel by Andrew Hurley. We also have the quilt raffle. For details, see the site, but make a donation of $250 or more for your chance to win the quilt, the mug, the t-shirt, the bumper stickers and cards, all the fabulous stuff you need to spread the word and help people get knowledge up. See the website for details. Call 800-724-2719, extension 3. And while you're at it, say you want to be entered into the book drive as well. 2-for-1. And as I mentioned during the first hour, The Dear RBN letter. Why is it called Dear RBN? Why does it say Dear RBN? Because you are RBN. That's why. Dear faithful person. If you're hearing this, you are the Republic Broadcasting Network. That's why it's titled Dear RBN. And so your support of our sponsors and advertisers and direct contributors, or direct contributions, excuse me, as the post says, the letter, your support of our sponsors, advertisers, and direct contributions to the network are all extremely valuable, valued, and appreciated. So, thank you. And to those who do and continue to support the network, thank you. You know, that includes, obviously, the book drive, the quilt raffle, advertisers, sponsors, and direct contributions. And if you appreciate the content on this network and would like to see it continue and do not currently or have not ever supported the network, please consider doing that. Last but not least, if you're on social media, check out the Republic Broadcasting Facebook page. I want to finish the thought on C.S. Lewis. Then we need to jump over and play the clip of... this is interesting. Did I get that wrong or something? I wonder. Anyway, I have to figure that out real quick. Then we'll listen to Stephen Montgomery on with... I think I have that wrong. I have the wrong clip. What is this? How did I do that? Steve Montgomery on with Leaving the Message. I think I have the wrong clip. I have to look at that. I apologize. Anyway, I want to play a clip of Stephen Montgomery talking about this concept of Western esotericism that he has talked about. He's mentioned Valentinus, which I think, by the way, is the namesake of Valentine's Day. truly. I think that's why, you know, there's this mystery, and I've talked about Valentine's Day in the past, some of the other folks, but I think he's really the namesake of it, arguably, predominantly, the Gnostic Valentinus. But then there's, in the discussion, there's also, you know, if you're going to talk about William Branham and all these guys who have this special revelation and dispensationalism and all that garbage, damnable heresies, as the Bible says, you have to include in the discussion Montanus, because he's the Rosetta Stone of this special, you know, divine revelation. Air quotes, air quotes, air quotes. So back to, from the first hour, the question people ask, Chris, why so much God stuff? Why so much Bible stuff? Why? What is that all about? Well, if you don't understand this story and this backstory and this pretext, you don't see what's going on. You don't understand. Like I said at the end of the first hour, once you see it, then you understand the entire university system. That just sounds crazy. Well, you know what? I hate to break it to you, but the way the world works is crazy. Can you give me some examples? Yeah, our Constitution in America says that Congress shall have the power to coin money and regulate the value thereof. Does Congress do that? And this gets to a bigger point that I was talking about early in the broadcast. You will find, if we're honest with ourselves, from big to small, from high to low, most things are voluntary. And we are persuaded, we're influenced and persuaded into things that we should not. There's a biblical correlation there. And I think, as I've said in the past, my contention is that the devil has really but one weapon from which all the others stem. And that's the power of suggestion. Bernaysian influence and persuasion for Machiavellian ends. Machiavellian means justify the Machiavellian ends. In the garden, yea, hath God said, no, he knows that you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. And so they ate and their eyes were opened. Is that why Skull and Bones, you know, 3:22 is a thing? Is it Genesis 3:22 that they're pointing to? It's the 33rd degree, right? You thaw out and you go, oh my gosh, this is what's going on. You're frozen up to 32 and finally 33. Now you've thawed out. You've thawed out and you, now you see what's going on. Is that what's going on there? So much is voluntary. So there's, Genesis 3, yea, hath God said. There's, you know, to God himself about Job, like I was saying in the first hour. The devil says he only serves you because, suggesting Job is disingenuous in his loyalty to God, which obviously is not, because you read throughout Job. Job says things like, I wish the day that I was born was blotted out from history. Nonetheless, you know, if the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. You know, he says, naked I came into the world, naked I will leave. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. And how does he finish that thought? Blessed be the name of the Lord. He also says, though he slay me, yet I will serve him. And lest we wonder, you know, how could God let this happen? God takes full responsibility. He didn't actually do the things directly that he, you know, sort of sanctioned, but he took responsibility in Job 42:11. They consoled him and comforted him, Job, for all the adversities that the Lord had brought on him. Wow. God took responsibility. What was the purpose of all that? People ask, you know, how could God do this? And, you know, not to get ahead of myself, but read the Bible. Read it. You have to understand his character and nature. You don't if you're just sort of swimming in the stew of today's Marxist Western milieu. You have probably a distheistic or misotheistic view of God. Well, maybe he's capricious. Maybe he's kind of evil. Or maybe he's pure evil. I don't know. Maybe he's just messing with us, burning our feelers off like little ants. That's distheism and misotheism. And there's a reason that we've been influenced and persuaded, nudge, nudge, to hold those views. Don't we have media all around us? What is media collectively? Anyway, or individually? Divination, essentially, maybe? From Romans 9, what if God, although willing to demonstrate his wrath, because, you know, you back up and Paul's talking about, you know, so then he has mercy on whom he desires and he hardens whom he desires. So you will say to me then, why does he still find fault for who resists his will? I'm telling you, I'm having these conversations all over the place. People might as well be quoting Romans 9:19. You will say to me then, why does he still find fault for who resists his will? What is his response to this rhetorical question? On the contrary, who are you, O man, who answers back to God? The thing molded will not say to the molder, why did you make me like this, will it? Or does not the potter have a right over the clay to make from the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for common or dishonorable use, depending on your translation? And you could put a bookmark in that there, and some people will say, well, that's just mean. That's mean-spirited. No, you don't understand his character and nature. It's different. You go back a chapter, Romans 8:28. We know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And there's more going into that around, you know, sort of the surrounding context. Revelation 21:5, similar, Jesus speaking, behold, I make all things new, in the perfect tense, you know, continually I'm making all things new. What does that mean? He shows up, and by his presence, because of his character and nature, he's like the reversal of entropy. He makes things better than new. So then you jump back into Romans 9, picking up at verse 22, what if God, although willing to demonstrate his wrath and to make his power known, well, that sounds mean, keep reading, endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, and he did so to make known the riches of his glory upon vessels of mercy which he prepared beforehand for glory, even us, whom he also called, not from among the Jews only, but also from among Gentiles, etc., etc., etc. And then Hosea. Why is Hosea significant? What's the story in Hosea? And then there's, you know, several don't get it twisted passages. Verse 30, what shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness attained righteousness, even the righteousness which is by faith. But Israel, pursuing a law of righteousness, did not arrive at that law. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith. But as though it were by works, they stumbled over the stumbling stone. What's the stumbling stone? Or shall I say who? Just as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that's who. And, you know, he keeps going back and forth. Genesis 10, Genesis 11. You know, don't get it twisted. Who's special? God is special. Backing up in Romans 9. They're not all Israel. Yeah, nor are all the children of, because they are Abraham's descendants. Romans 9:7. But through Isaac your descendants will be named. Continuing, what does that mean? That is, It is not the children of the flesh, because there was, what about Ishmael? It's not the children of the flesh. Well, then what is it? It's not the children of the flesh who are children of God, but the children of the promise are regarded as descendants. Anyway, getting back to what's going on. Down through history, there has been this Western esoteric influence. We'll probably play a clip of Stephen Montgomery talking about that from his, you know, research that culminated in his book, Converging Apostasy, which is a very interesting book. This is what's happening. It's been happening for thousands of years. That's what he's saying. This influence of this guy, Valentinus, you know, you have the Christianity instituted as the state religion, essentially, and down through the centuries, we have this duality that persists, that is explained in places like the externalization of the hierarchy. Why? Because if it's diluted, what did Jesus say in the seven letters to seven churches? I wish you were hot or cold. You're lukewarm. Imagine if you have a container, you know, like you have one of those, you have in a scientific lab, you have a couple of beakers, one of something good, let's call it living water. You have something in another that's, you know, sewage, essentially. And if you have a device that allows a mixture of these, kind of like maybe the ice cream deals or whatever, you know, they have the ice cream machines where you can, you know, do vanilla or chocolate or a swirl. If you could do a mixture of these two things and maybe adjust the mixture, maybe, you know, you just have a little bit of this stuff, the sewage, but it's mostly living water. And you can adjust that mixture down through history at an appropriate time or an appointed time. Maybe you want to change that mixture. And the people don't notice, per se, because, you know, you're playing the long game. And this is gradually over time, maybe 50 or 100 years, 200 years, 500 years. Who looks at that kind of time frame? Well, if you read the externalization of the hierarchy, the year 2300 is mentioned, I think, for example, and the book was published in 1957. So, if you can adjust that mixture and dilute it and pollute it over time, people don't notice. That's what's been happening in America. Halloween is considered a Christian holiday. What is a holiday? You know, if you read Toynbee, he tells us in his whatchamacallit, study of history, that language matters. And the conversion of, you know, Christological terms to secular terms, as he would put it, is part of the overturning of a society. From cleric to cleric, conversion of souls to conversion of a 5% to a 10% stock or whatever, those kinds of things. Words matter, it turns out. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com. Or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Do you begin to smell some funky little things going on? Let me share this story with you. It's not so much a story, it's something I wrote years ago. Read your history, people. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Tomorrow's Friday. Will the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. And will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich? Can you survive if the stock market tanks? Look, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades' experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge, and I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balanced protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth. Or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214. Or by email at KettleMoraineLTD@Cox.net for private consultation. Once again, our phone number, 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
Men upstairs with all their cop cars and everything.
That's what they're always telling you. Never let your enemy tell you how many of you there are. Never let the man that you're against form your opinions. This is the trick that's played on everyone who's oppressed. The first thing, an occupation, when you have a revolution in the country, the first thing you take over is the radio. And then you start telling the people that everybody, the war is over. And so all of them surrender. No, they believe that thing right there. And once they take that over, they start telling you where you are and where they are, and you fall right in line. It's plain thought control. The majority of the American people aren't segregationists. That the majority of the American people aren't imperialists. But the government is, the structure is, the power faction is. So how then do all the majority go along with it? Because those who sit in power over the television, over the radio, and over the press is constantly telling those who are the masses how free they are. And how this they are and how that they are.
There you go. He said it, and he was absolutely right. I want to play the Stephen Montgomery clip in a moment. But first, let me just sort of finish the thought on C.S. Lewis. Again, you have to understand, when you realize it, I mean, tell me I'm wrong. As we look at who's celebrated in the hallowed halls of academia, especially the Ivy League, you know, the Ivy Towers, are they – How many of them are unequivocally, unambiguously Christian? Which brings me back to C.S. Lewis. Because some people will say, well, you know, what about Lewis and the Inklings? Just to finish that thought quickly in this segment that I was talking about at the end of the first hour today. First of all, C.S. Lewis and all the Inklings, for that matter, was no more Christian than Freud. I mentioned this thing that CBN has, the folks at CBN. That's, you know, I think nothing needs to be said there. Good Lord. Talk about polluted and diluted. They have their segment about a week ago, Christian C.S. Lewis meets Freud in new film. Christian C.S. Lewis, why are they doing that? Why isn't it just C.S. Lewis? It's because, you know, kind of like climate science, that's why. Christian writer C.S. Lewis, why don't I just say C.S. Lewis? To keep reinforcing this false narrative. That's why I was giving you some examples of things in America that aren't true, like the Federal Reserve, you know. Oh my gosh, how can you say that he's not a Christian writer? Well, there's all kinds of stuff floating around that's not true that people don't realize. The Federal Reserve is not federal, not a reserve. It is a counterfeiting operation, according to the Constitution, that's been sanctioned by Congress. That's just a fact. By the way, it's voluntary. If 300 million or maybe 100 million people in America got together and said, this has to go immediately. Everybody read Quigley's Tragedy and Hope, for example, or I don't know, whatever. Any number of things. Watched any number of documentaries. The Money Masters, et cetera, et cetera. It's unconstitutional. If it continues, then what is it? It's unlawful. It's lawlessness. We have all kinds of those things. The modern medical institution and industry. Modern medicine was born out of the worst atrocities of World War II, particularly others, but especially World War II. It's just a fact. You know, let's talk about prosthetics and, you know, cochlear implants and things like that. What are the purposes of those? There is a patently transhumanist driving, impelling force beneath it. Well, how can you say that? Read Kurzweil's Age of Spiritual Machines, especially Chapter 11, which I've quoted from time to time. Read it. Published 30 years ago almost. And what did he say we could expect by 2029? Speaking of cochlear implants, contact lenses that are now permanent, provide like a heads-up display on the eye. Though they can be permanent, he says, permanent or temporary. But, you know, it's like a Terminator movie-type display. Not just for your car anymore. Can you imagine how confusing that would be if you had that on your eye and on your windshield? But it won't matter because we're not driving anymore anyway by the time that happens. So no big deal. But, you know, you see these other heads-up things. Anyway, things we think are one thing are actually, you know, it turns out to be another. Just like Malcolm X said, don't let your enemy define terms for you. We played the montage Chad O'Jackson put together yesterday in honor of Martin Luther King Day, and it is titled MLK Was No Hero. And how can he say that? Same thing with C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis was no Christian. No more Christian than Freud. I don't know, I said I would explain. I'll finish that thought when we come back. There's a particular reversal that I want to mention. Then we'll play the clip and we'll move on. Stick around. We'll be right back.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people, because you can handle the truth.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Gilad Atzmon says the essence of Jewish power is the ability to prevent the discussion of Jewish power.
Jewish power requires anybody in politics to understand it and know about it, but never talk about it.
My Awakening really sums up, with the very best evidence, the facts and the truth about race, and the fact that race drives history, and the truth about the Jewish question.
The younger you get, the greater the percentage of people who identify as alphabet soup, you know, LGBTQ, RS.
This woman, she's like, oh yeah, I identify as a koala 2 years ago. And I'm like, what?
A koala?
What? Maybe if it was Quickie Koala, that might be cool, but otherwise, I don't know.
How about an inward pass? Have you ever received an inward pass from any of your black friends?
Biden invited a drag queen to come for the signing of the Respect for Marriage Act, the Respect for Anal Sex Act. So, yeah, I mean, let's just call it like it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you, and in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. That guy, old Blue Eyes, wasn't he a CIA asset at one time or another? And that gets into other territory. A lot of people are, you know, this... If you understand what I'm trying to explain, then everything comes into clear focus. Speaking of C.S. Lewis, not being a Christian, but CBM pushing the Christian author C.S. Lewis. Why do you have to say that? Same reason they say climate science. because it's not true, but they're trying to encourage you to volunteer to adopt this lie. There's another guy who has on another network, not far, far away from RBN and Round Rock, who has claimed to be a Christian and talks about, you know, how his family has all kinds of spooky types, his family tree, very spooky. And in his recent interview with Jimmy Dore, he basically outed himself as a Kabbalist. How many people actually understood? You know, maybe nobody watched it, which wouldn't be a bad thing. But he outed himself as a Western esoteric Kabbalist, making merchandise of you. 2 Peter 2:1-22. Pretty interesting stuff. Probably come back to that. What happened to his teeth, by the way? What's wrong with his teeth? His dad was a dentist, right? A CIA dentist. You know, Epstein had a fully equipped dentist chair and cart at the Palm Beach house. I guess Andrew Tate said his dad was CIA too, right? Everybody's CIA, I guess. I don't know. I'm not. I have none of that in my family tree, but I guess those guys all are. Anyway, interesting. And, you know, while we're on the subject, the Wikipedia entry for this guy mentions William Cooper, which I think is very profoundly ironic. What did William Cooper say about this guy? Probably still find that on YouTube's them tubes in different places. Anyway, moving right along, getting back to the point. You go to Christianity as the Roman state religion, Wikipedia entry, under the section history. Let's see. Early Christianity in relation to the state, establishment and early controversies. In 311, with the edict of Serdica, the dying emperor Galerius ended the Diocletianic persecution that he is reputed to have instigated. Funny how that works. And in 313, Emperor Constantine issued the Edict of Milan, granting the Christians and others the right of open and free observance of their worship. Isn't that nice? Constantine began to utilize Christian symbols such as the Chiro early in his reign, but still encouraged traditional Roman religious practices, including sun worship. And so the commingling begins. In 330, Constantine established the city of Constantinople as the new capital of the Roman Empire. But now it's Istanbul, not Constantinople. Now it's Istanbul, not Constantinople, right? The city would gradually come to be seen as the intellectual and cultural center of the Christian world. But wait, we still have the commingling. Over the course of the 4th century, the Christian body became consumed by debates surrounding orthodoxy, i.e., which religious traditions, doctrines are the correct ones. In the early 4th century, a group of North Africa, later called Donatists, who believed in a very rigid interpretation of Christianity that excluded many who had abandoned the faith during the Diocletianic persecution, created a crisis in the Western Empire. All of this hints at, you know, well, you know, it's always that duality. It's always that confusion. Anyway, a synod was held in Rome in 313, followed by another in Arles in 314. These synods ruled that the Donatist faith was heresy, and when the Donatists refused to recant, Constantine launched the first campaign of persecution by Christians against Christians and began imperial involvement in Christian theology. However, during the reign of Emperor Julian the Apostate, the Donatists, who formed the majority party in Rome, in the Roman province of Africa for 30 years, were given official approval. Anyway, we see this, you know, duality start to emerge, and it's just been, it has persisted ever since. And therefore, like Jesus said, you know, lukewarm, wish you're hot or cold. So now, if CBN says Christian C.S. Lewis, yeah, why not? Christian writer C.S. Lewis, sure. Have you read his books? As much as I can tolerate, which isn't much, like many of the American founders, just to finish this point, he writes with forked tongue, I would say. But you protest. He declares this and that bad. Yes, but like many of the American founders, does he go so far as to repudiate it? Or does he just say, gosh, you know, this sure would be bad? You know, it sort of reminds me of, you know, for example, facts submitted to a candid world. These are, you know, sure, the tone is bad, but it's a laundry list of things. And then if you read what the founders wrote, you know, it's more of a tone typically of, gosh, it sure would be bad if this happened, wouldn't it? Wink, wink. What are you getting at? I'll come to the point presently. So does C.S. Lewis repudiate it, or does he say, you know, you think of things like the Screwtape Letters, for example. Or could it be construed as pointing to something in reverse, so to speak? You know, again, a Lewis Carroll, a Charles Lutwidge Dodson, you know, anglicized reversal of his name so that Charles Lutwidge becomes Carroll Lewis, and then you flip him, Lewis Carroll. As a form of, you know, you flip it, pointing to something in reverse as a form of bad guy instructions without being obvious. And, you know, hey, maybe in some cases even endearing oneself to the very enemies sought to vanquish, which reminds me of that spurious Cicero quote, the traitor. So many things are like that in our society, if we're careful to pay attention. And it explains a lot. Why do things keep moving forward, seemingly drifting away from our American ideals? Are they really drifting away, or are they moving with that impelling force, as the Satanist Lucius Truss contingent would say? Are they moving in the direction they've always been moving? You know, one friend who's asking questions about these things, I posed the question, to this friend, you know, why so many recent, this person has been saying, you know, how do I know which translation? And there are some, you know, there's kind of an academic answer, but the real simple answer is the Holy Spirit. That's how you know. 1 Corinthians 2, get the secret Dakota ring. There you go. No one's better than the Holy Spirit. But, you know, so I said, why so many recent Bible translations? Recent, air quotes, turn of the 20th century, circa then. And my hint is, who were Westcott and Hort? They were theosophists. They were Satanists. Look, we found some new manuscripts. They're older than these others, so, you know, they have to carry more weight, obviously. So I asked if Richard John Neuhouse was correct and culture is the root of politics and religion is the root of culture, then what is the religion behind our present cult of cultural Marxism and the shift toward it? What is the religion behind our present cultural Marxist shift? Here's a better question. Is that religion behind cultural Marxism any different than the religion on which America was founded? Or is it perhaps only more advanced along in its efforts? I think it's a rhetorical question. Because I see about 3,000 years, or let's just say 2,500 years or so of history, unbroken. And then you go back further, and those episodes seem to also correspond to this plan. What is it? Biblically speaking, you have the usurpation in the garden. There is this effort constantly and ongoing. You read about it in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, for example, to usurp God in heaven. I will ascend above the heights of heaven. I will become like the Most High. And mankind is conscripted to these efforts. Can you prove it? Yeah, look what's happening in Genesis 11. Right after the flood, God comes down and scatters them and confuses their language. But already they have this group of builders who rejected Christ, by the way. Interesting. It's sort of the Gnostic contingent. You have the Jewish leadership and the Gnostic, you know, builders represented in the fraternal groups that you see in Genesis 11. They worship Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived. But where did he get his wisdom? God said, ask of me anything. Where did the wisdom come from? Fraternal people. Kind of forgot about that, right? If you read the Bible, God was the one who said, ask of me anything. And Solomon asked for wisdom. But where did it come from? Funny how that gets left out of the conversation. And so the Gnostic fraternal orders are constantly pursuing knowledge. Those other mystical types are, you know, Kabbalists. It's the same nonsense that comes down through the ages. And there's always this revived effort. The reason God broke it up in Genesis 11 was because it wasn't time. There is a centerpiece of the Gregorian calendar. What is it? Or shall I say, who is it? And that was why the disruption. That was why the genocide of the Old Testament, so to speak. Now we don't have that. That guy says, you've heard it said, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. Today I give you a new command, love your enemy. Guys, we don't need to worry about this whole, you know, yeah, you want to talk about racial purity or whatever, I'm sure that would be a fun discussion. Anyway, from the Old Testament. Anyway, this is the story that comes down through history. There's always this effort to try to rebuild the tower of Genesis 11 to finish the great unfinished work. It's represented in the European Parliament, for Pete's sake. They advertised with Peter Bruegel's Tower of Babel, and then they denied it. No, we didn't do that. Yes, you did. You went around through the neighborhood advertising. And then you said you didn't. Why would they advertise for the European Parliament building that looks unfinished? Why would they advertise for it with Peter Bruegel's Tower of Babel? Because that's what's always going on. I'll give you two things real quick. That's the story. That's what our universities are for, to create these types, to crank them out. The reason we don't know, we can't see it, is because it's right in front of our face and we are steeped in it. Like Malcolm X said, Garod Okoman has written an interesting piece published yesterday over at his Substack, titled The Translation of Christ from Theology to Politics. The West has much to learn from the Filipino feast of the Black Nazarene. Very interesting, very heady. And from the conclusion, way down there, conclusion, which is itself, I mean, a post in and of itself. But more and more young people are turning out each year to participate in solemn translation, while the West spiritually resembles the Horma, the place of destruction. The place of destruction? Why does the West resemble the place of destruction? Come back to that in a minute. Symbolized tragically in the annihilation of Gaza. Destruction for the sake of destruction. Kind of. It is a means, both a means and an end in a sense, but not truly the end. I'll get to that in a second. The connection between the two is, of course, the Jews and the perennial conflict between Synagogue of Satan and the Church of Christ, which is the driving force of history. The Synagogue of Satan wants to destroy the Christian family. The Synagogue of Satan wants to destroy the Christian man by rendering him weak, a weak, effeminate creature incapable of suffering and of procreation. That's an interesting soundbite right there. Something to perhaps ruminate on. I don't agree with the entirety of the post, but man, it's definitely food for thought. And speaking of the Horma, the place of destruction, interesting that the esoteric types mention it too. If it's not a thing, if the Lucius Trust is not a thing, the things they write about are not a thing, then why are they talking about the new group of world servers like Bill Gates and the Gates Foundation, like, you know, as the continuation of the Rockefeller Foundation and George Soros and his? Why are the ultra wealthy folks keeping this group going after all these years if it's not a thing? And why does Lucius Trust refer to Gates Foundation, Gates, Soros, all these guys as the new group of world servers? Why are they saying that? And why don't you know about that? Let's see. I can find this piece real quick. Oops, too far. Maybe not. Okay. From the externalization of the hierarchy, I'm just going to jump in here. They have these things here, this plan, an unfoldment, the sequential unfoldment or whatever. From point number four, the use by the hierarchy of the destroyer aspect of divinity, the first ray, in such a manner that is, in fact, a creative factor, and one which, you know, ordo ab chao, that kind of thing, in the last analysis, not only releases the life from its previous limitations, but also calls in, under the law of balance, the building activity of the second ray. The work of destruction is now practically accomplished and over, and the work of the builders is beginning. But this is interesting stuff. To back up a little bit, this bit, the invocative work carried out both consciously and unconsciously by humanity itself, which has been of such a potency that it has penetrated beyond the ring pass knot, symbolically understood, parenthetically, of the hierarchy to Shambhala itself. This guy I mentioned who has said he's a Christian in the past, who is not, talking about Valhalla, he's talking about Shambhala, which is a spiritual counterfeit of the New Jerusalem. Anyway, that's a whole different discussion. hierarchy to Shambhala itself and has evoked response. This invocative work, listen to this, this invocative work reached a high point of potency as a result of the World War. Which one? 1914 to 1945, parenthetically. Wait, that was both of them. And its note and appeal are still persistent. Okay. Let me get to the punchline here. Skipping down this bit. It is interesting to note, speaking of our American heritage, do we really know our history? It is interesting to note, though it is of no immediate moment, that the work of destruction initiated by the hierarchy during the past 175 years, parenthetically, therefore, since the year 1775, has in it the seeds, as yet a very long way from any germination, of the final act of destruction, which will take place when the hierarchy will be so completely fused and blended with humanity that the hierarchical form will no longer be required. Is it me, or does that sound like crazy stuff? Do we really know our history? This sounds a lot like what Manly P. Hall said. The point here is not that we should all become Satanists. Quite the contrary. I think the devil is a ruthless and exacting taskmaster. These people try to keep meticulous records so that they can pass this stuff down through the ages. And they're, you know, the language that is intended to obfuscate for most of us, you know, if we can sort of read between the lines a little bit, it becomes pretty darn clear. So the work of destruction initiated by the hierarchy during the past 175 years, therefore since the year 1775, has in it the seeds of the final act of destruction, which will take place when the hierarchy will be so completely fused and blended with humanity that the hierarchical form will no longer be required. What is that? Sounds like transhumanism and posthumanism to me. And this has been the intent for all these centuries. And that's spoken of too. If you read the externalization of the hierarchy, I wouldn't recommend it. So this is what's going on. This is what's happening. And this is why we've had duality on down through history, particularly in the post, you know, Christ era, shall we say, when Jesus walked the shores of Galilee. He's not dead. He rose and ascended into heaven. He is the central figure, and we all have to answer the question, what will you do with this Christ? Even if we've been convinced and persuaded that the devil never existed. So I hope it was informative, perhaps even edifying. My apologies to the callers I didn't see until late. Maybe we can revisit the conversation tomorrow and eventually circle back to this discussion of fascism, probably tomorrow. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You can't!
can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because